Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show. I'm broadcasting from Eugene, Oregon, where I've been participating in some of this incredible oxygen therapy. Again, if you want to find out more about that, go to Langenberg Research or just langenbergwater.com is much easier. Everybody keeps asking me for that link and to find out more about this super oxygenated water. And, you know, with all the chemtrails and the GMOs and all the other stuff we're being assaulted with, it's definitely a godsend right now. But, you know, it's putting me back together after all the crap I've had to deal with, you know, being on the forefront. And speaking of being on the forefront, we're going to bring in some amazing new groups here. We've got some new things coming on. I've got Laura and Madison on the line here, and they've launched a new adventure called the Justice Twins. And you can go to Facebook and just, you know, type in, you know, www.facebook.com/Justice Twins to find out more about that. And we're getting some incredible interference here. So I know this is going to be a great show because whenever we get all the interference and technical problems, it's usually something they don't want to come out. So without any further ado, I want to invite Laura and Madison on the show. Are you with us?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Madison. Nice to meet you. I know I've worked a lot with Laura, but it might be our first time. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I believe it is. Nice to meet you as well, James. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, there's so much going on now, and it's really ramped up between this Archon network and the technologies. You know, it seems like that grid's being torn down, and they're struggling and pulling out all the stops, trying to hang on. You know, on their way out. I'd love to get your take on that. I don't know where you want to start, or maybe either one of you can start in on talking about your new adventure, the Justice Twins, and what your main goals are.
Okay, well, I'll start. Well, I had a visit with Madison. She came to my home, and we just really felt called to, you know, just connect on a mission level. And when we were hanging out, we just discussed some ideas as far as, you know, different action-oriented missions that we might recruit people into. And some of the ideas that we passed along to one another, we were just completely on the same page. And, you know, the whole idea is to, you know, get people involved and, you know, come up with things that directly address some of the current issues that we're facing. And so we're also putting out videos to, you know, discuss some of these topics. While we created also a Facebook page, and we're going to be launching a website. And the whole idea is that we introduce a particular, you know, mission, and people can write to us and tell us if they're interested, and then kind of assign, you know, different, you know, projects or different elements of what that mission is to different individuals. So I'll just kind of leave it at that and pass it over to Madison.
Yeah, you summed it up really nicely. A lot of it is creating councils, and Laura and I are strategizing a lot of this because it's a mission that we've never seen carried out by anyone before, and there's been a lot of ups and downs, and we've had people write in and explain to us why certain things are avenues that we might want to avoid versus things that would pan out. So a lot of the moment we're in right now is strategizing how we can make this effective moving forward, but also utilizing group action and leadership skills so that there's some kind of organization to this movement. We know that all this stuff is happening, and there's a lot of people, manpower, that are ready to take action. So that's what the Justice Twins is all about, taking action.
Great. Yeah, we need action right now. I mean, there's a lot of talk, you know, and a lot of lip service and a lot of posers out there that aren't who they say they are, you know, but I'm sure you've run into that. But yeah, it is time to get off, you know, get off the pot and start doing something.
Get off of Facebook and start doing something. You know, we can post forever, but oh my God.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like one example is, you know, how can we not be in battle mode, you know, where it's an us against them, and really engage, you know, people that are, you know, working, you know, in law enforcement or in the judicial system, or just, you know, in local communities to, you know, begin to, you know, appeal to the good nature of those that are meant to, you know, serve humanity and, you know, enforce law so that they can have a deeper understanding about what's going on behind the scenes. Now, we run into the problem of, you know, these things being owned by the cabal and, you know, a lot of, you know, different, you know, things, you know, make it very difficult for us to do this. And so, you know, a lot about strategizing, particularly with the 2016 election, the first thing that initially got us talking was, you know, this election is going to be a major deciding point in where things get steered and where, you know, we you know, choose to allow our futures to, you know, manifest. Is it going to be, you know, through governments and the presidents that we vote into office, or, you know, are we going to build a new paradigm for real? And of course, we're moving in the direction of wanting to build a new paradigm for real. But as long as we have these elections and as long as there's criminals running for office, we want to educate the masses and appeal to those that should be helping us and enforcing the law, because criminals should not be running for office. And so gathering, you know, links and witness testimony and, you know, true stories, you know, to pass along to those that should know, you know, might help us to hold these people accountable rather than, you know, see people going to the voting booths, you know, for people that should be, you know, put away or, you know, I mean, you know, for example, Hillary Clinton and Kathy O'Brien's written a book about the torture and abuse she endured under Hillary Clinton, and people are going to vote for this. And so, you know, we see so many distractions happening when a book like this comes out so that people don't pay attention to stories like hers. And it just doesn't make any sense that this should be allowed. And so that was the beginning phases. And of course, there's many, many different things, you know, along with that, relating to a lot that has been kept secret from us, you know, dark technologies and ET agendas and that kind of thing.
And speaking of that, Laura said before, we want to empower the human race as leaders and remind ourselves that the governments might have these treaties with these ETs that want to do weird experiments or whatnot, but we also have our own agreements and soul contracts. So we can reach out, and our, you know, one of our goals is to reach out to higher dimensional star people and cultivate relationships with benevolent beings that are about service to others rather than service to self. So that, you know, if they want to have these weird contracts, then we can have contracts that actually benefit the human race.
Mm-hmm. I think that's excellent. The that's one of the main problems. I just went to the International UFO Conference and spoke there, and what I know was really missing is the benevolent side of things, and talking about how we can make agreements with the benevolent ones and invite them in to help us, you know, in this shift, in this pattern. And what's interesting is the crowd loved it, you know, they, you know, got a standing ovation after the talk, but it seems that the network of people out there that are in mainstream ufology, you might say, are still focusing on nuts and bolts and the dark side of things, and not even ushering in the more positive side of contact.
Yeah, and this is what's so important is, you know, allowing people to understand, you know, the game that's being played and to look at, you know, the solutions, and the missions are all connected to solutions. I mean, if we look at it, you know, like our unified energies and our oneness, which is diversity and harmony, is acting like the immune system of this experience. And so is the balancing of the masculine and feminine. And if we don't achieve these things, then it's going to be very easy for us to be preyed upon and for these, you know, darker parasitic forces to, you know, run the show. And so a lot of it's going to be about, you know, encouraging inner work, you know, focusing our psychic energies and working with that so that we can affect change from behind the scenes. What we want to avoid is sort of that protesting and the traps that would lead us into like martial law or a police state, and to really nip it in the bud and address these things now before, you know, things start to manifest in it. Becomes that much more difficult to pull ourselves away. And so, of course, the benevolent races are aspects of our higher self, are connected to and linked to, you know, our higher self, and also, you know, past lives in other star systems and our star family, and also, you know, our future selves, and to really rally the troops, you know, an army of light that is using the weapon of love and unification instead of, you know, fighting the system and creating, you know, more duality out of, you know, not taking responsibility in our own selves because if we don't address ourselves and we don't stop enabling these things, we're just going to be fighting something and still, you know, be part of the problem.
I agree. I know I've worked with a lot of different elders, and I just interviewed one, Eric Gonzalez, that we were talking about what's happening with their sanctuaries. And they said that their sanctuaries are basically being invaded by the archons, you know, and by serpent beings and things of that nature. And they had to, like, clean house. They had to totally clean house and get rid of there's just a few people at their sanctuaries now because of a lot of the misuse of plant medicine and, you know, a little bit too much alcohol and whatever, you know, but things like that. But they had to do a major house cleaning just because the doors were open for these energies to come in. And I wonder if you're noticing that as well, is that there are, I'm sure, in your own personal lives and as well as relationships, you know, with different groups and things, is that we always have to keep a constant vigil on these energies and be aware that, you know, we have to keep our consciousness clean and our bodies clean, actually, so we can continue to work with the higher dimensional beings.
Absolutely. It's just like you wouldn't put dirt as fuel for your car. You know, the same thing. And that's why the GMO movement is such a big deal. And that's why everything that's happening right now with poisoning our water and our sky and everything around us. So, I mean, it's extremely necessary for anyone that's listening that wants to be involved. We've gotten emails already, and I am like, we're collecting people that do want to be a part of this because of what it takes so many people. It takes so many people that are passionate about one specific area of change in order for us to all do something. Because Laura and I, as two people, there's no way that we can truly keep up and know the absolute down to the details of every little event, whether or not this is a hoax or this is real life. But when we have a team of people investigating, we can do so much to really just stop living in these paradigms of having these conferences that are all about what they're doing to us. Start focusing on what we're doing for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say the whole thing about, you know, keeping our consciousness clean. We have to understand we're made of earth, air, fire, water. And when we really purify ourselves and we function at a higher frequency level and we allow ourselves to expand into our multidimensional body, you know, we're going to get a reflection of that on the outside and things are going to be able to fall into place, you know, to match that vibratory level that we've attained. And we can't do that, you know, if we're in fight mode and battle mode and competition with each other, you know, and dealing with, you know, all the sort of smearing and negativity that, you know, also happens when, you know, people are trying to work together. We can't unify unless we find our own authenticity and we find our integrity and we do the work of purification, because the earth will respond to us. I mean, I feel that this dimension that we're in is kind of a sacrifice on the part of the multidimensional body of the Mother Earth, you know, who has higher earth energies that are not like this. But we're given this opportunity to learn and grow, seeing, you know, what the results are of our choices and actions. And she is allowing us to see this at the detriment of her own, you know, elements and what it's going through. But there's other levels of her being that don't experience this at all. And so we're faced with the choice. And, you know, we have to start to see things like the cabal as a manifestation of our own negative ego. And if we can stop externalizing everything and start to look at, you know, where we feed it and where we're plugged into it, and we begin to unplug and show other people, you know, a new way of working with, you know, Mother Earth and the abundance of the universe and how to really, you know, co-create and participate, we're going to starve that other thing. We're going to starve the matrix. We're going to start to collapse, you know, these dark technologies, because they siphon energy from us, and it's our own free energy they're using against us, you know, to achieve, you know, these artificial timelines and these Armageddon type future scenarios, and also, you know, a new world order system. And, you know, we are very much, you know, creating this just as much as it's being done to us. And without, you know, seeing this, you know, we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, it seems like you know, I've always, the age-old argument, you know, like God is nothing and God is everything, you know, and some people focus on God is nothing, God is everything. And some people say we're creating our own realities, but then again, these realities exist even if we weren't here. You know, there's still an ongoing timeline or movement, you might say. So I think I always feel like there's both. You know, there is an external program going on, but there's an internal program which takes precedence, that we can make the changes, you know, that we need to do, you know, through the internal way, you know, because the consciousness is cause. It's the original, you know, that's where you want to work, through the higher dimensions down to affect this dimension, versus, you know, fighting and wrestling with the physical. There's other practices that are much more beneficial.
Right. And there, you know, the inner outer reflection, you know, I don't think there's one philosophy that can cover all bases. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, there's the inner and outer, but then, you know, yes, we came into this experience very vulnerable, and immediately a control system and the matrix was set up when this new, you know, Earth was sort of manifesting out of our fall into this lower density. And mm-hmm. the necessity that, you know, came about was that this became an ascension planet, the goddess morphed into the physical planet, and there's been, you know, the presence of avatars and prophets that have come to assist us that religion has distorted the teachings of. And so, you know, also to get on track with the real truth, within reason, of course, because we have our own version of it, and we need to empower our own uniqueness so that we each play our specific role without negating somebody else's expression or purpose because we expect it to fit into some sort of model. You know, the way the web of life works is diversity and harmony creates that oneness and the ability to support ecosystems. And we have to understand that on a human level and, you know, at least agree to, you know, integrity and the principles of, you know, like the golden rule and things that will basically allow us to do this without, what we've seen in the past, which is, you know, hierarchies or sort of that guru that we place in front of us, or, you know, some sort of teaching that can pull us further away from ourselves. And I think the greatest way to gauge if we're in alignment with truth is what our physical bodies are telling us. What are, do we have symptoms? You know, how are the qualities of our relationships? You know, how do we relate to ourselves? And that's going to show us the greatest clues about whether or not we're truly in alignment with our own unique truth, which then connects us with greater universal truths and cosmic laws.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I call it universal law. Basically, the higher beings are saying that it's time for us to lead ourselves through our own hearts and souls and make our own personal God connection. And that's when you are operating under universal law, which is, and people want this big, giant book, you know, for universal law. And I always tell people universal law is quite simple. Well, you know, you just be kind to each other and yourself and nature. You know, it's not that complicated.
Right.
And, you know, it's the big three, you know, just honor that. You know, even Jesus said that love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. And I wish he would have said, you know, honor the sacred circle of life or the creator and all creation. And then we'd have it, you know, we'd have the full teaching right there. But that is universal law. It's really that simple.
Cultivating a relationship with the universe. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's like we're in a really powerful, exciting time, because the more that people do take control of their own destiny, or take the reins, I should say, then they are more expanding into the universe, and we can have these individual enlightening experiences rather than waiting for it to be some. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we can open up this conversation. What do you both feel? Do you feel it's going to be some grand event, or do you feel it's more a personal shift?
Go ahead, Laura.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I believe and feel, I mean, that whole metaphor about, you know, different bodies of water, whether it's a creek or a river or whatever, it all leads to, you know, the great ocean, and there's many different paths to get there, and we're all at, you know, different places and different levels of growth, and we need different experiences in order to, you know, get the revelations or epiphanies that will help us to recognize ourselves as kind of already there, you know, holding that energy already. But of course, on a physical level, we have, you know, paths, and, you know, our own soul path. And as an astrologist, I noticed the difference with, you know, what everybody has agreed to. And some people have agreed to stay unconscious, and some people will make sure they manifest all the crises they need to wake up. Whether or not they're engaged in the process, it's an agreement that is already sort of wired into them. And that's why, you know, people feel shocked by certain events. But then in hindsight, when they look back, they say, thank God that happened. It woke me up. You know, sometimes it's an injury or an illness that does it. And so, you know, I feel it's gradual, but I also feel there's a tipping point and a big event that is going to help us to see, you know, that we're on kind of the winning side, I guess you could say. And I know that almost brings us back into duality about winning, but that victory of having our sovereignty, you know, and becoming senior to these lower forces and integrating and transmuting and also, you know, letting go so that it can go where it needs to go, you know, whether it's recycled, whether it, you know, transforms itself, or whether it just sort of falls away and dissipates because it's no longer being fed energy, you know, which is what parasites, you know, need, is a host. And so I feel it's personal, you know, when we see these changes happening. But then I think on a larger level, we'll see something obvious. You know, maybe something, you know, happens where the elections get disrupted and you know, people start to pay more attention to this sort of thing. And there's a wave of energy that begins to shift people. And it becomes, you know, clear that, you know, people aren't giving the power to the governments or the royal family. And they recognize what's been happening, you know, behind the scenes. And that is where the tipping point I see needs to be reached. And we're still on the cusp of that.
Yeah, I think it has to be personal for a lot of people. It's they're not going to change until it's personal, and they have to have a major event, or as you're saying, there has to be some kind of major event that would shock the media into having to reveal that it's not business as usual anymore. And I think that's coming, actually. I think, especially with the UFO thing, I mean, UFOs are showing up everywhere right now, and they have so much egg on their face. You know, the media is trying to cover this up and make fun of it. They just can't do it anymore. There's just too much activity. And I'm just seeing whole flotillas of ships starting to appear around the planet, especially places where they don't shoot at them, you know. And it's just a matter of time before people are going to have to accept the fact that it's not business as usual. And there's more to life than, you know, beer and football and their SUV and their cubicle they work in. And there is going to be some major awakenings. But I also see that it's also personal. Some people are just going to hang on to the bitter end. And I've seen that. And I've seen other people just that I thought were never going to get it, all of a sudden just have this big aha moment and shift.
And Oh, no, no, you go.
I was just going to say that we need to have, during this next election, people to be focused more on this community of growing people who actually want truth rather than the same old Democratic Republican. If we see that again, then we are the epitome of not evolving at all or not moving forward, because how many years are we going to let this keep happening? Have either of you heard about that Obama casually went on Jimmy Kimmel and said that space aliens run the USA, and if we were to disclose it, they would exercise strict control over us? That just happened. What is the meaning of this? How is that just casually coming out now of all times?
Well, that's a lot about, you know, the secrecy, you know, the ET government treaties, you know, Area 51. Eisenhower tried to invade and couldn't because Area 51 is considered like a reservation. It doesn't even function like it's a part of the U.S. And it's because it's basically an ET colony. And, you know, to me, it's like we need a mass exorcism. And the only way that's going to happen is to increase the light and the unification and the love and the integrity and the commitment to Gaia. And really recognizing our roles as stewards and guardians of the sacred energies of life, and to begin to protect those energies and to really, you know, work on where we're fractured and fragmented. Because if we work on all that, nothing can get in, nothing can plug in. And if enough people protect themselves in this way, then there's really no rulership, because, you know, it's like a disease trying to win over the physical body, but then there's the immune system that can create all sorts of shifts and miracles, but it's not going to do it for us. We need to be willing to change our diets, we need to change our belief systems, and we need to change, you know, everything in our life for us to heal from any sort of illness. And to me, you know, this planet is diseased. It's infiltrated with disease, and it's something that, you know, we can really, you know, heal from no matter how much this infiltration has set in. And it's never too much for us to handle. I mean, there's people that get off the hospital bed and walk again when the doctors say they'll never walk again. There's people that have, you know, healed naturally from cancer. And we have to look at, okay, well, what are the laws of the physical? And how can we translate that into the macro? First of all, of course, it's all working on ourselves. But when we begin to unify, you know, we need to really see what the skills are, what the talents are, what the passions are that each individual has, and begin to create a system. And, you know, sort of using nature as the teacher and model, because it works.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. The I know, too, one of the most important things, too, is that, and we have covered this, is that a lot of people don't even know they have an option, that they have an option to actually call on these higher dimensional beings and the extra, you know, ultra-terrestrials and things of that nature that are extremely benevolent, very loving, and they want to see us get through this process. And that's what I think is sad, is that if we were to rise to the occasion and ask for help and ask and make, you know, be very clear, you know, only benevolent, only beings that serve the creator and all creation, you know, and be very specific about who you're bringing in and start asking for help, I know we'd get that help. And but we need to rise to the occasion to, for that to happen. But I think it's sad that people don't even know they have that option. They don't even realize. I mean, they're actually manipulated by these darker forces because they have no idea they're even there. So they are, you know, using only 10% of their brain. Who's in the other 90%? You know, it's like you look at that and all the other, you know, stuff that's been going on for so long. I think it's so important to realize, for people to realize who they are, for one thing, that they are a powerful manifesting God and goddess. You know, that's their true nature. And two is that they have help to awaken to that and to empower them to step into that. And if there's anything, if there's an external force out there that's saying, follow me or worship me, then we need to start really paying attention to that, that that's just another parasite. That's a very disempowering program if they're not inspiring you to make your own personal, you know, God, creator, spirit connection, whatever you want to call it.
Earth is the ultimate teacher. So the more that we align with nature, the you know, and I know we've like talked a lot about organic stargates, and the more that we see ourselves as connected to nature rather than this like random species who that's the weirdest thing about the humans is we're just totally ignored the fact that we're one with nature and ignored the patterns of nature and what keeps nature thriving and, you know, not having these psychological issues. So the more we can tune into that as a society, I know energetically it'll be like making a phone call to these more benevolent races. And, you know, maybe that's who we can start having more cultural enlightening experiences with, rather than these, you know, abduction experiences that people want to forget because they don't want to know that they're abducting themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the lights just need to be turned on because all this is, you know, surrounding us. It's there, you know, we have spirit guides, you know, there's benevolent forces that are trying to assist us. And then there's, you know, things waiting in the wings, like the archonic parasitic energies and, you know, people being yanked into, you know, manipulation by reptilians when they, you know, begin to maybe join the music industry or become actors, you know, and there's, you know, all these different things. And so there needs to be a mass deprogramming. And I feel that when we get to a certain frequency level, it is going to have a wave effect. And we have to understand that, you know, the deprogramming is crucial, and that can come through sound healing and music and tones and, you know, people, you know, maybe, you know, seeing that instead of trying to get their heads wrapped around conspiracy and feeling, you know, their world shattered. I mean, let's focus on the heart. You know, there's only so far we can go with exposing stuff. We need to expose, you know, the universal loving heart of the creator and, you know, how we can all link up and, you know, raise that energy. And I feel that will deprogram the masses, because once we start to function from a higher dimensional level, we can handle the assaults. We can handle, you know, chemtrails and, you know, the things that are in our food. We can, you know, process it on a whole different level, because higher dimensional energies work, you know, the physics are different. And as long as we buy into the programming, our bodies are not going to have the capacity to be able to handle the assaults. And that links us further into artificial intelligence systems, and we lose, you know, connection with our soul. So, you know, I just want us to also, you know, really have a big focus on deprogramming the masses, but in a way that's not going to get them stuck in their heads trying to figure it out. They're not going to be able to go through the rabbit holes we've gone through, but to, you know, focus on, you know, how we can advance and upgrade our DNA through things that are simpler and more available to people that don't challenge them on every level, which causes a repulsion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything to comment on that, Madison?
No, that's like hitting the nail on the head. And I say the more we operate with a tribe mentality and lifting each other up, I mean, even our self-talk and like all kinds of self-talk, we're doing powerful spells with our words and our thoughts and our intentions. And the more we align as a tribe and a community, I totally agree with what Laura just said. We can transmute all of these denser energies and use it for our own empowerment.
You know, I've noticed one thing with the tribe program and, you know, just with my own experience at Isetti and also to the Mayans, you know, the elders and even the Native American, I was talking to them as well, is that there has to be, you know, a common agreement that, you know, that like we're saying, we need to keep it clean. We need to clean up our consciousness, our environment, what we eat, what we, you know, what we say, what we do, and really become self-analyzing or the observer. And not be attached to, you know, the need to be right, you know, and the need to defend things that just aren't really defensible. You know, it's like I've seen that over and over again. I keep running into this program where people, they come up with these ideas and they don't even know they're being influenced. They don't even know they're not their ideas. And they hold on to them so strongly and their need to be right, their need to be in control of their lives versus stopping and meditating on it and tapping in and just say, is this really in alignment with universal law? Is this in my highest and best good? Is this in the highest and best good of the community? Very few people can actually stop and sit down and sit with that with brutal honesty, you know, and look at themselves and their behavior and just see if it is really in alignment with their highest and best good or with the highest and best good of the planet.
Yeah, it's amazing. I feel we when we think about community and we think about the tribe, it's like we don't want to run into, you know, the traps where, you know, there's a spiritual leader that, you know, has certain teachings that everybody has to follow. We have to be very careful of the programmings, new age deceptions that come along with having a mediator or somebody, you know, who's there to stand between us and source or spirit. We have direct connection and we have to focus on our own direct connection, like you said earlier, because it's very easy for people to just sort of nod their head and do whatever the group thinking, you know, and it's enough with all that. I mean, a real teacher should empower and should create leaders and should help a person find their own wisdom body and their own direct connection instead of expecting to be, you know, that person that guides them like they have something that others don't and people have to, you know, look to them. I mean, everything we need, life teaches us. Our physical bodies through our symptoms teach us how to heal, but we're taught that it's a diagnosis, it's a label and it's a condition, and we treat the symptoms. We never, you know, get to the root of it. And our bodies are designed to help us heal by sounding the alarm through giving us symptoms. Our life works on the same principles, you know, where we get the experiences we need, whether they're positive or negative, to help us to grow and expand and to learn and to be humble and to evolve. And if we ignore what life is showing us and we keep numbing ourselves or we keep plugging into the matrix programmings, we're going to be ignoring the things that we need to see on a root level, and we're just, you know, dealing with the management of symptoms. And the management of symptoms can be denial, it can be watching television, it can be, you know, following something outside the self. And we have to take full responsibility of not being like an artificial matrix, but with, you know, new age lingo or some sort of spiritual facade that basically makes it look like it's something different. And I think the only way we're really going to make it work is for people to guide the individual into self-realization and expansion. And I think we're all in agreement because we've all mentioned things, you know, on that level. But what I hate to see is people signing up for something that's, you know, new age teaching, and it's encouraging things that pull a person out of connection with themselves. And people wonder why they can't seem to, you know, get healthy or balanced. It's like, you know, we need to pay attention to what life is teaching us and what we're learning on an everyday basis. I learn more in a day observing my life and my physical body than I ever have learned in a book and anybody that I've ever heard speak. It's like, you know, we need to return to the simplicity of the wisdom of this life experience and how much everything in our own reality shows us the way a lot more than any other individual will ever be able to.
That's exactly it. And listening to the universe, the messages the universe directly has for you, just like a phone conversation, like with one of your sessions, Laura, you tell somebody this message and then they go and they repeat that to somebody else. But that message isn't necessarily tailor-made for that other person. So like just, I mean, like you're saying, without having to have some kind of a narrator between self and a greater divine spirit, just knowing that the universe is communicating directly to you in every moment of the day, and stop giving the power away, whether it be to some Democratic or Republican party or your preacher.
You know, it's great. You know, I love these interviews because I have this question. I was going to ask this next question and both of you already answered it. And every time I start to come up with a question, you both answer it. So I love that we're all on the same page, you know, and going in. And that's the way it should be, actually. You know, but, you know, I was thinking about the external versus internal. We're so programmed. Everything is external. We're going to fix everything external. Our savior is external. The answer is external. You know, everything is external. And very few people know how to do internal because it's been the external is been pushed so hard on us, you know, through programming and social media and things of that nature, that it's so important right now to start learning internal, you know, ways and how to heal internally and how to go within and find your own healer within and find your own solutions and things of that nature. It's a whole new ball game right now. And I don't think the external is going to function anymore much longer, you know, especially the way it's set up now. That whole grid is coming down, and I think people that attach to that grid, you know, the standard medicine and all this stuff, that people that are attached to that grid and think that's going to save them or take care of them are in for a really rude awakening, and they're going to find out that they've been extremely misled on every level. I always say, you know, there's, you know, I think it's an old Rumi saying or whatever, you know, there's beyond all people, places, and things, there's a place or something like that. And I always say beyond the Democratic and Republican Party, there's a place. And that's where the true knowledge lies, you know, so.
Yeah, and we got to remind people that, you know, this is about liberation. Let's not, you know, hear that, you know, our governments, you know, are corrupt and religion has been leading us astray and get all bummed about it. Let's start to celebrate and appreciate our sovereignty and appreciate the fact that, hey, if all this external is letting us down, where does that take us? It takes us into the most intimate relationship with ourself, with nature, and with spirit. Let's get excited about that revelation instead of act like, you know, this is all so heavy and difficult and terrible. It's like, it's good news to know that everything we can possibly need is inside. And so when we gather, you know, on a tribal level and in a community level, let's help each other through these initiations. Let's hold hands and support one another while we're, you know, moving through our stuff instead of, you know, acting like we have all the answers, which, you know, doesn't allow one to go through the experience to really remember it on a cellular level. Basically, you're just going to remember some teaching that you're going to forget maybe next lifetime. And we need to create these changes deeply in our, you know, cellular nature. Our DNA has to, you know, be involved. I mean, our DNA is directly connected to the stargates. Our unification is directly connected to this ascension window period we're in. And so these initiations, you know, come from a lot of these crazy planetary alignments and, you know, through some of the shock and upheaval and changes that happen in our lives. But we have to stop freaking out and stop running to the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors and the, you know, everything, and start to, you know, find the support that'll help us move through the dark night of the soul and help us to be reborn and emerge, you know, better than before, instead of disempowered because we're going through a challenge. It's time to feel empowered because we're facing adversity or because we're facing our shadow self, instead of, you know, freak out. It's like we just have to hold some space for each other, you know, knowing that it's not easy, it is difficult, and it is uncomfortable, but, you know, it's taking us to a beautiful place, because any other place that we give our power away to is taking us into a trap, and that's the sort of future, you know, that we don't want. And these are the powerful times right now to reclaim, you know, these simple truths and just join forces and support one another, you know, like for example, if somebody's going through an addiction, it's not a teaching that's necessarily going to help a person. It's knowing that you're loved, knowing that space is held, and knowing that you have people you can reach out to when you're in a crisis.
That's exactly it. It's, we can go through this massive bonding experience and focus on what unites us and focus on what we're all flowing through. And like you're saying, get excited about it. I mean, that's the main thing. Like, we have an incredible opportunity. We have a platform to recreate an entire new paradigm and a reality and tap into magic and tap into all these things that were lost, like these ancient truths that were lost. We have that at our fingertips now. We have the wisdom. We have the community. We have the consciousness available to us. And it's a really exciting, awesome time. And it hurts to see people give their energy away to these conferences that are focusing on, oh my God, the government's doing this and they're doing that. It's, these are the times now to really get excited about that we get to paint our own canvas and start taking the reins on our reality.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree. I know it's one thing at the last conference I spoke at, the big one in the International UFO Congress. People came up to me and they said, thank you so much. And I said, well, what for? You know, and they said, we've been waiting for this, you know, to hear this. They said, we've come to these things over and over again. We've been waiting for the empowerment message. We've been waiting for hope. You know, we've been waiting to actually truly understand what's going on, you know, with all these shifts and everything else. And it's sad that they're just not getting it, and you know, this information is available. I'm sure You've seen that. I mean, you've met with all these people that could be giving this information out, and we share this information willingly and freely. I do. I mean, even all my UFO footage is available to anybody, and I don't hoard anything. But I just go, wow. When are we gonna move past this separation game? You know,
and celebrate.
Start working together and just say, hey, let's create a whole new paradigm, a whole new reality. Let's usher in the benevolent ones. Let's just drop this other program. You know, I think it's funny because I see these guys standing up there and they go, well, they're flesh and blood. If they're blood, they bleed and we can take them out, you know, and things like that. And this John Wayne gung-ho, you know, our F-16s are going to have new weapons so we can shoot these beings down that are a billion years ahead of us, you know, in technology. And, you know, and it's a lot of military stuff. And I just go, where's the intelligence in that? I mean, it's kind of an oxymoron, I guess, military intelligence sometimes. But, you know, they're very good at breaking things. They're not very good at establishing any kind of a loving communication with things.
Yeah.
Controlling.
It's barbaric.
Yeah.
And how much can you kill something until you realize that nothing really dies and things incarnate and things come back even more pissed off and determined than before? It's like, for all the past lives that I've been, you know, killed, I'm back just, you know, that much stronger and that much more, you know, empowered to, you know, complete the mission. It's like, what is this with death is such the force behind people feeling like, you know, they're winning something or gaining something or... You know, it's just ridiculous because, you know, there is no death. You know, we're in these meat suits, we're in these human vessels, and we occupy it. But when we're not occupying it, we're somewhere else, and we're not getting rid of anything by killing the physical. We have to figure out on a soul level how to harmonize, how to respect other life forms and their way of life, and how to kind of meet everybody's needs. And then whatever, you know, control forces that simply, you know, want to just feed on us and manipulate us and control us, you know, they're kind of standing on the outside saying, okay, you know, there's no place for us anymore because nobody's buying it anymore. You know, we need to just figure it out on our own and not try and change something that's not designed to want to change, but use it as a launching pad and a catalyst and also a tool for our highest growth, you know. And like, let's look at the chemtrails and let it empower us instead of crush us, reminding ourselves that we're advancing beyond all of this and we have the power to achieve, you know, mastery over these lower forces and the power in our own physical body to be able to manage this and lift the veils to see that we're on a multidimensional planet and we're also multidimensional beings, you know, and everything that's a weapon against us needs to be a tool for our empowerment. And that's the only way we're really going to win is to, you know, to match it with a higher level of love and solutions.
Absolutely. And knowing that all these tools that are supposedly being used against us are just because of how creative and powerful we are as beings. And I think it would be really awesome and empowering to find out what are they talking about on the boards of these on the boards of these meetings about chemtrails or GMOs. Is it they're probably talking about how human genes and creativity is constantly outdoing itself to the point where they can hardly keep up, but they're not going to talk about that because that would disempower them. So seeing all this going on around us in our environment, we should just, it would be amazing to see humans just take complete responsibility for how incredibly powerful they are and how able they are to affect the universe around them. And the more we start tapping in and celebrating that, and James, just like you said, people coming up to you and being excited about a message of hope, and I keep hearing this come up with Laura as well, more being excited. You have to want it. You have to want it and be ready for it and be really, you know, believe that it's possible to transcend this lower, denser reality to something that we all have been dreaming of.
And if we don't show the picture and we only show, you know, the problem, then people aren't inspired or motivated or passionate about, you know, unplugging. I mean, most people want to stay slaves. Most people don't feel like, you know, moving into another way of being or a different perception. And we have to, you know, show those pictures and show what it looks like and how it feels, you know, to get people excited and to wake that part of them up. Because the spark of spirit within us that, you know, might be dormant in some, and our dumbed down DNA and the strands that aren't activated don't feel like getting activated in the face of miserable news. You know, it has to be inspiration. It has to be things that stir passion and a certain longing, you know, that we might not be able to even hear anymore because it's connected to our inner voice, but we can't hear our inner voice with all these, you know, things going on in the media, cell towers, smart meters. And, you know, everybody get yourself out in nature so that you can see the contrast between, you know, a false information that's guiding you and what your intuition wants for you. Because the voices are extremely different. But without giving ourselves the chance to see the contrast, we're going to be just lost in just the chaos of what's our voice and what's, you know, a manipulation.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I was told basically that, you know, I was told a few things. One, I love what one of these masters told me. He said on their realm, he said, what's the sense in warring on somebody? He said, you know, you chop off their arms, their legs, their head, they just reassemble themselves and come right back at you. So he said, there's no sense in it on their level. You know, there's no sense in, and it's a little longer term thing. We lose our meat suit, but we're all back. You know, we all come back again. And so it's just eventually you go, it's senseless, you know, that program doesn't work anymore. And it does seem like I've never seen, you know, like we're the ones in power. Our action determines what these cabal and these Illuminatis do, because they're always trying to control and manipulate us. And whenever we're moving in one direction, they have to run over this direction, they have to run over that direction. And they're the ones, they're trapped. They're trapped because their move depends on our move. And so, yes. And so it's like they're trapped in their own program. They're not free to just to be and go hang out and do what they want to do and find their joy. They're so caught up in their own control patterns that they're trapped by where we go. And so it's like one of these days they'll figure it out that, you know, the real power comes from the ultimate power, which is love, and allowing that love to flow through you versus trying to control and dominate and manipulate. There's really no power in that. That's actually a much lesser form of awareness and power, and that's going to trap them forever. And they're the ones that are enslaved by the people they're trying to enslave themselves.
Exactly. And they did, you know, compromise their DNA to be able to maintain control too. And, you know, we have to understand, I mean, our own negative ego shows us the same sort of thing. You know, eventually it expires. Eventually we have a revelation or an epiphany that helps us to see a better way, because it's so darn uncomfortable to see how it just doesn't really work. You know, in relationships, it doesn't work. In the way we treat ourselves, it doesn't work. You know, if we're always listening to the voice of our negative ego and suppressing our higher self or higher consciousness or our divine masculine and feminine, our bodies don't like it. You know, and our life, you know, there's a backlash connected to it. Now, they realize this, so they have technologies and ways to sort of dumb us down and numb us and plug us into things so that we just accept this as a way of, you know, human that this is just the way humans are, instead of, you know, recognizing the unbelievable programming connected to it. Once we get a grip on, you know, how to listen to our higher self, our ego, you know, purifies and starts to, you know, be a voice for it and starts to generate power directly from that higher intelligence of ourself and what's beyond ourself. And we don't want to get rid of ego, but we want it to work on our behalf. And, you know, the negative ego does expire, but that's where the technologies come in to keep, you know, this kind of life cycle alive, and why there's abductions and why there's these time travel manipulations in order to create sort of this life cycle within a matrix that can't evolve beyond to be ascended. And the thing is, right now we can decide if we're going to become ascended masters or higher dimensional beings ourselves, or if we're going to digress and become grays because we have allowed this sort of rulership over us, which creates the necessity to later on heal our race, which ended up happening on a particular timeline that we're seeing. And this is, you know, playing out. But this is the window period where we can make a choice and actually change the future and actually dissolve, you know, these agendas from continuing.
And what a beautiful story that could be.
Yeah, I agree. I know with the grays, it's kind of interesting. They cannot evolve past their technology. They're stuck, and they can't go anywhere. And they also, a lot of them have bred emotions out of their body. And you've got to have emotions, you know, powerful emotions and free will to evolve to the higher dimensions. And so by their choices and by their actions and by becoming too dependent on technology and the mind, which is why they have those huge heads. You know, they have these great big heads, but their bodies are atrophying because they cut themselves off from the life force, you know, which is love and the creative energy. So basically that, you know, hopefully we can figure that one out and learn from their mistakes and not go in that direction, because we have the ability to ascend to the highest levels, back to the source itself, and we have the technology within us to do that, or we can become dependent on Google, you know, for everything, and start becoming transhumans, do this transhumanistic agenda and settle for technology and just become a gray.
Yeah, well, there's no morality.
If we start using our breath, we can literally have our bodies be our own, like, mode of transportation and our spaceship. If we purify and just, it's like we're given a spaceship without any kind of instruction manual. And I think, I honestly believe with every cell in my body, human bodies in the future can be your own way to travel through time and space. You won't even need an actual machine of any kind. That's how powerful we are.
Yes, totally.
I agree. Yeah, if you become an ascended master, you don't need a ship. You just appear wherever you want. You can bilocate and actually appear in many places at once. It's kind of interesting.
It's like all of our education has been totally manipulated and all the power's been taken out. So the time is now for everyone to just know how badass and awesome and capable they are and start remembering and tapping into the organic magic that's all over this planet and what nature has to tell us, because nature doesn't give up on us. Nature hasn't given up on us so far.
Yay. And this is what the Justice Twins is all about, is to make sure that, you know, somebody gets things on track. And, you know, you're doing it, James. There's a lot of colleagues and friends that are doing it. But to just be sure that, you know, those that are kind of watching on the sidelines know that they have a very unique and specific role, and we want to empower that and find a place for them and create inspiration and passion to create change, instead of feel like, you know, we're battling and you know, we're at the mercy of everything that's getting thrown at us, and we're just hoping for the best. We need to take action, but with love and joy and unity. And so we're just so excited and so glad that we're doing this. And thank you for, you know, giving us a voice to share with, you know, the listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much, James. JusticeTwins.net is going to be our website coming out soon, and that is a hub for people to come together and know that you are a part of lasting change for this paradigm.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, I totally support your work, and there needs to be more people like you out there. I've always supported the Divine Feminine, you know, because of, you know, my own encounters with Mary when I was a kid. I have to do a disclaimer. I'm not Catholic. You know, Mary is a universal being, but at 5 years old, I was dying, and she came to me and pulled me out of that situation, and she's come to me several other times. But, you know, I was I always tell people, you know, everybody's focusing on the masculine and Jesus. I said, well, without Mary, Jesus wouldn't be here, you know, and she was his main teacher. So he hung out with the feminine aspect energies, the house of Mary, much more than he did with the disciples. And it's time for people to realize that to reinstate this divine feminine and bring balance back, because it is a little crazy.
Yes. And the beauty is that we create that beautiful relationship within us. You know, we need to kick out, you know, the negative archetypes, the programmed aspect of the masculine and feminine, and dig deeper into our divine blueprint and recognize that beautiful dance and relationship of the masculine and feminine and, you know, all these incredible energies and, you know, and to really integrate, you know, all the archetypal powers and find harmony between them and send that energy out to the collective so that, you know, we're affecting the things that we inherited and we're taking it to the next level instead of, you know, keeping it alive, you know.
Great. Hey, unfortunately, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough both for coming on the show and totally support your work. How can people get in touch with you again?
JusticeTwins@gmail.com is the best way, because we're cataloging emails of people that are interested in working together.
Great.
Through there.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I just want to say, we have an event at SETI August 14th to 16th. I just wanted to say Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower will be doing that. Key Codes of Ascension, Unveiling the Inner Mysteries. And I just wanted to say it because we're on your show. But yes, Justice Twins.
JusticeTwins.net as well.
Yeah, and you can find us on Facebook, and we have a YouTube channel. And really look forward to just really, you know, working together.
Awesome. Well, stay in touch, and we'll collaborate on this, and I'll do all I can to support your work and keep up the great work.
And thank you so much for all that you do and keeping people inspired and, you know, waking them up, and just so great to hang with you.
Oh, you too. All right. Well, unfortunately, folks, we're out of time. This is James Gillen with BBS Radio. As you wish, have a great evening. Watch the skies and lead yourselves from your own heart and soul. Good night.